Welcome back.
Like you said, check the message. Yeah. There are some people who, there are some churches recently that are beginning to sound like they are saying the truth. Mm. Let's say they like Christ Embassy. Christ Embassy baptizes in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
But get other things wrong.
Yes.
What if I go there and I hear something that, that seems to be true, water baptism? Should I still remain there when I know others are wrong?
No. Listen. Water baptism, correct water baptism, the gospel is more than correct water baptism. Actually, the gospel, you have preached the gospel before somebody comes for water baptism. That's how it's supposed to be.
Yes, sir.
Now, that you catch the revelation of water baptism and you reject the revelation for holiness, then you have a problem. Because you are baptized. But the thing that will make the proselytes to now have a relationship with God, holiness, you deny him that knowledge. You deceive him. For without holiness, no one will see God.
True.
The power that transforms a sinner to a saint, you deny him that power. And that power comes by the washing of the water, by the word.
By the word. Amen.
So it's not just water baptism.
So it's not just to hold on to one thing. It must be a complete package.
Sure. And then remember, you know, that we are looking at the soul. We're not talking of man-made holiness. Because you can dress so that to identify. In this church, this is how we dress. You hear people saying in the message, this is how we dress. That's a denominational statement. That identify which group you belong. No, that's a wrong statement. In the message, this is how we are. In the message, Satan has successfully denominated this entire message.
Oh,
we are no longer, the purpose of this message that God brought to us is to make us Christians. And if you catch the message, your language will be as Christians, as Christians,
not as
Christians,
not
in the message. Then when I talk, then we have a message. I say, what is the message? The message is to make us Christians. If you are not a Christian, then let's talk about Christ.
I think I'm guilty of people more
innocent. Yeah, in the message. Well, I also know when you use the word in the message, you want to refer to a certain group of people for identity's sake. But when you begin to promote it in a way as if it because you are this.
Mm.
No, the whole thing is to make us Christians.
Amen.
Amen.
But sir, still on this issue, because it's very, very weighty to me. In fact, from my own judgment, what you're trying to say is that we are in days of gross spiritual darkness.
Gross.
Yes. You're telling me all these manifestations, all these, you know, you go to a church, you're seeing these prophets. They're seeing mighty healing deliverances. And there's no message behind them. They're saying we should not even give it to them.
Why will you go to a place? What is paramount to you? The salvation of your soul or just your healing?
Because 98% of what we know as Christianity today is, you know, that's what Christianity is today. The popular Christianity we know. What we see everywhere is there must be these manifestations, power.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's a totality. We are not against
the power.
Did we deny the sign that Moses gave?
No.
Did we deny the healing and power that until they were so anointed, the apostles, that they were bringing the sick on the road for their shadow just to pass over and receive healing? It's not denied. It's not denied at all. But what is the message?
So without the message, all those signs are a waste of no use.
Third John, what does he say?
Hallelujah.
Third John,
verse 3.
Okay.
What is the prayer of Apostle John then?
All right, verse 3.
That's right.
From verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things.
It's actually verse 2 I'm looking for.
Okay. Beloved, I wish above all things.
What is the wish of Apostle Paul? Above all things. That what?
That thou mayest prosper and be in health.
Prosperity and the healing.
Even as thy soul prospereth.
Even as thy soul prospereth. Prosperity and healing. And the prosperity of the soul. Which one goes before the other?
Prosperity of the soul.
So, in the context of this prayer, the soul must first prosper.
That's right.
That's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And his righteousness.
And every other
healing will follow.
Amen.
Prosperity will follow.
Amen.
Because If you are not yet in the kingdom, how can you benefit from the blessings of the kingdom? You are not yet a citizen of, say, America. There are certain benefits you will not be entitled to.
That's right.
That's why he said, look, try by all means and be a citizen first. The prosperity of the soul first. And somebody is putting healing
and prosperity,
you know, before the prosperity of the soul. In fact, not even to the detriment of the soul, because they don't have nothing for the soul. They have nothing for the soul. They are not even downplaying it. Their own is just come. Somebody will just come and then gather people and say he's a prophet. And all he's doing is see vision for people. And then he's calling a ministry. Where do you see that pattern in the Bible? To just see people, see vision for them. They conduct deliverance for them. Go for family liberation. Go give you prayer point. Give you fasting. That's all. The ministry is over. Where do you see that pattern?
So, sir,
if you want to operate a clinic, go ahead.
So
don't tie it to Christian ministry.
The end result of this is that the soul will not prosper in such
an environment.
Because there's nothing for the soul there. There's nothing targeting the soul there.
So in other words, let me say it in my own terms. The rapture is not there.
That's what I'm saying. The prosperity of the soul, where does it end? It takes you
to glory.
Be with him forever.
Amen.
Because this program is Rapture Watch. We're trying to tell you the things that will get you rapture ready. There are some of these things, you know, that, look at it now. You know, I was saying something about grace. It's grace, isn't it, that you have anointing?
That's right.
It's grace. It's grace. Okay, go to Titus.
Why?
Chapter 3. Chapter 2, sorry.
Okay.
Yes.
Chapter 2, now, verse 11.
All right. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to all.
Now, watch it. You know, if you are studying the Bible, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. It means there is a grace that does not bring salvation.
Ew.
Shama.
Do you understand?
Amen.
What's the one that bringeth salvation? See what it does. Go on.
Okay. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men.
To all men.
Verse 12. Teaching us that.
Teaching us that grace must teach that what?
Denying ungodliness.
We are to deny ungodliness
and worldly lust.
And worldly lust.
We should live soberly.
Live soberly, not riotously. Soberly. Not all this acquire this, acquire that, acquire this, acquire that. You know, all attention, everything is acquired. Until you acquire now, you want to acquire power, you want to enter politics, you want to this, you want this, all those. You know, everything the worldly people are struggling for. Why are you struggling so much today to the detriment of your soul? Go on.
Righteously. And godly.
And godly. Where?
In this present world.
Verse 13.
Looking for that blessed
hope. Okay. And what is that blessed hope?
And the rapture.
The rapture.
Hallelujah.
And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior.
Because all your mind is, I will soon be going home.
Amen.
People who live such life, is reflected, who have such thought, such mind, is reflected in the life they live.
That's right.
Somebody speaks about the blessings of Abraham, but they don't talk about the life of Abraham. They're only looking at his blessing.
Yes.
They've forgotten that no matter what wealth he had, his soul was anchored. He looked for that city. His attention was on that city. Can we read it?
Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. Hallelujah.
Oh, it's true.
Verse 11.
You see? Verse 8.
Okay. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went.
Yes.
By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise.
And that is a very rich man. For he was dwelling where?
Tabernacles. Tents.
Tents.
For he looked for a city.
The reason is where his hope was.
Which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
Okay, now. You know, and if you follow that very well, you know, Verse 13. Go to verse 13.
Okay. Mm. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off.
Saw them afar off by revelation. Mm. Did what?
And were persuaded of them.
Persuaded,
and embraced them.
Embraced these promises.
And confessed that they were strangers and
pilgrims. That is his lifestyle. The lifestyle of a stranger. The lifestyle of a pilgrim on earth here, verse 14.
For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a
country. By the life that they live. Mm.
And, 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned.
Thank you.
Mm. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Uh-huh. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called God, for he had prepared for them a city.
Amen.
So they keep talking about Abraham blessing, Abraham blessing. Mm. And they look away from the way Abraham lived, despite all the wealth he had.
Okay. Please, are you, it's even good you said this, because I want us to come to those that sell the gospel. Yes, those that sell the gospel. Talking of Abraham blessing, we have a video of Pastor Matthew Ashimolo, where he's speaking of this blessing.
And many more others.
Yes, and many more others. Mm-hmm. So let's just sit back and watch these interesting videos, beginning from that of Matthew Ashimolo.
Okay, now.
Travel a lot, ministering so much. My ticket each year is like 35 million naira ticket. This morning when I ask you to sow this seed, don't sit there looking at volume. Look at value. For when you look at value, not volume, then God will make your life valid. God will change your life from the dimension in which you are to where it's taking you. I want you to sow a seed of 50,000 naira. Five is the number of grace. G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's about to bring you into a season you've never walked. Dimensions you've never been, and testimonies you've never given. Grace, so that God will remove disgrace.
My spirit in this house, I want to help some of you to move to your next level financially. And I want to help you in 2018. Whether you've done it before or not, it doesn't matter. You're going to give God 1 million naira in 2018. You can give 2,000 naira in the month. You can give as the Lord provides for you. If you have it, you give it. But you're going to say, this is for stupendous wealth. I'm changing level. I'm moving to another level. I want you to stand up very quickly. Don't wait for anybody. In 2018, come out. I'm going to be praying with you. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. I don't beg people to give up. This is what brought me by God's grace to where I am today. I used to be poor. Face the altar. Face the altar. Hushers, just leave them. They'll be fine. Yes. Anyone that can give 1 million cannot hurt me here. Please move forward. Move close. It's very good to be close to the altar. 1 million naira this year. I want to have the account of the ministry on the screen. Nobody is promoted by accident. I'm an incurable giver. This is what I do. This is how I live my life. And it pays. You're given 1 million naira. It doesn't matter any speaker that comes. Oh, what's up with you? I didn't know you were there. I didn't take permission from you. This is home for me. Now listen, any speaker can come and raise any seed. This one doesn't disturb it. In the course of the year, the Lord can lead you to do anything. But this one is your seed for the year. This is January. You are sowing it into this ministry. You are registering for something unusual. Hurry up, we are waiting for you because we want to pray. 1 million naira, that's what you are giving to the Lord this year. Don't wait till you have everything. Take a book, be writing it. Any day you send 50,000, write it. Can I have the account details? Is it there? Oh, great. Your church account details must be on your phone. It must be with you because God can ask you to give anything, anytime. Anytime.
You cannot get this in any bookstore in the world, wherever you go. It's my seed. It's just come off the press. I want to sow this as a seed because I believe in David Sirulla. I believe in Inspiration Networks. I believe in this ministry. And what I make happen for others, God will make happen for me. Somebody's son is going to be set free from alcohol because of your $1,000 seed. Somebody is going to avoid a divorce because of the $1,000 seed. Some girl on drugs whose mama's been praying for her is going to be set free from drugs because of 1,000. And what I make happen for others, Ephesians 6:8, God will make happen for me. I don't want you to call until I finish my prayer. And as soon as I finish my prayer, I want you to go to the phone, dial the number on the screen, and simply say, I'm one of the 1,000. I'm going to faith in somehow in 90 days a $1,000 seed. You may already have the 1,000. It may be something you put aside for retirement or a college or a vacation. You may have put some money aside that nobody knows about, and God's given you a picture. It may be in the bottom of your closet, maybe in a sock, maybe between your mattresses. It may be an account that nobody knows about, but you and God. That's not your harvest. That $1,000 won't get you anywhere until God touches it. Everything God touches multiplies. Precious Holy Spirit, I ask you for $1,000.
Listen, you're going to hear this, Pastor. They've been calling in here, Pastor Chris. The phones are so busy. Listen, a $250,000 gift. $150,000. $100,000. Another $100,000. Another $100,000. Another $50,000. Another $50,000. And Jeff, you came with what? Now come on. These are coming from the United States of America.
Wow. This was from New Jersey.
New Jersey.
It's $100,000 before 8.
Can we do another little dance here?
Welcome back. That's it, sir. But we see these sellers of the gospel, and yet in another video, a very respected televangelist, Benny Hinn, was speaking contrary to this popular trend.
And even before Benny Hinn gave his video, we had already seen a video of Abel Damina.
That's Abel Damina.
Abel Damina gave a video. Then we saw that of Benny Hinn.
Okay, let's sit back and watch Abel Damina speaking about the same prosperity.
Abel Damina is a pastor in, I think,
the church here in Lagos.
Uyo?
Yeah.
Somewhere like that.
Abel Damina.
After preaching for several years, I became empty. I became empty and unfulfilled. I mean, you are in Uyo, you know. In this town. Leave that thing. I am the Baba for prosperity. You all know me. I can collect money from Satan. If Satan appears, I can collect money from him. I'm the Baba for prosperity. I preached prosperity until I was lost inside. I couldn't find my way. Totally lost. I preached deliverance. I did deliverance in this town till I went from street to street, junction to junction, casting out demons. I've done it all. I've done it all. I came to a point in my life where life became meaningless. In fact, I told God, maybe my time is up. Because there was no more joy, no excitement. I'm not looking forward to anything. I was fed up. I said to God, is this all that there is to ministry? Preach, raise money, and be happy? Is that all? Collect money, raise money, promise people things that I know is not Bible. 4 keys to success, 3 keys to breakthrough, 45 keys, 40 steps, how to make it, pillars of prosperity. And I know that none of them is true. I even knew that some of the scriptures I was quoting, there was something wrong with them. Scriptures like give and it shall be given, good measure, press down, shaking together, running over, shall men give to your bosom, has nothing to do with money. I got fed up and I left church. I left our church. I didn't tell them, but I left. I told Mama, let's get out. We jetted out. I was fed up. I said, let me pray. Maybe I need to pray. Maybe something is wrong with me. I need to seek the Lord and find out what is the matter. I got into prayer. I took 2 weeks to pray. At the end of 2 weeks of praying, I had nothing. But I felt like going to the bookshop. I got to the bookshop. And I saw a shelf with Andrew Womack's book. I never liked Andrew Womack because to me, he is a lazy preacher. You know, Africans, until somebody is gyrating, he is playing. So, and Andrew Womack would just sit down and be talking as if the whole world is waiting for him. I didn't like him. But then I discovered he commanded global attention. So I wanted to find out, what is he saying that makes everywhere I go, people are asking me if I have listened to Andrew Womack? But I'm not patient to watch him. So I saw a shelf of all his books. I packed all. But I didn't read. We came back to Uyo. I got on my pulpit and preached and felt emptier. I told Mama, let's go again. We left. We went to Dubai. In Dubai, I prayed for like 2 weeks. I was just seeking myself. I was looking for me. Because me was lost. Listen to me, I'm not joking. Me was lost. I had cars. I had money. I could preach on any pulpit in the world I wanted. I had everything working, but me was lost. So I traveled. After 2 weeks in Dubai, I didn't find solution. I told Mama, let's go back. We got in the aircraft. On that trip, I took two of Andrew Womack's books, and I didn't read them. But in the plane, my eyes were sharp, so I felt like reading. So I took the first Andrew Womack's book. I read only 8 pages. 8. And my heart opened. The veils fell off. I saw where I missed it. I took out a notebook and my pen. And I was writing throughout the flight. I finished the first book, the second book that I took with me. I came back and proceeded on another time of vacation. I studied, prayed. I began to find joy, fulfillment in Christ. In Christ. I discovered that Christ is the missing link in the gospel and the only link in the gospel. I came back to our church and I did 30 days of glory and I blew grace. I began to preach the grace of Christ, what Christ has done in his death, burial, and resurrection. I preached it for 30 days. I preached it. And I began to preach salvation. I began to preach the revelation of Jesus. My life is fulfilled. I have peace. I have a reason to live. I'm so happy. People say, Dr. Damina, we observe you are so consistent. You are not distracted. Me distract. I have found him. Bishop Michael Konko called me a few years ago. He said, Abel, what have we been reading? I said, sir, I have asked the same question. He said, why will it take me 70 years of my life to discover the gospel? Why will I be 70 before I discover the gospel? Bishop Mike was telling me, Michael Konko, he said, I am discovering gospel at 70 after I have preached for over 40 years. What have I been reading? He went back to his church and apologized.
You've seen it for yourself, sir.
It sounds like I was not hearing the man correctly, or maybe somebody was saying something else. The man was actually confessing, correcting what they had done. 40 years of ministry, Bishop Michael Konko.
That Bishop Michael Konko. Ah. And he himself. It was prosperity. But they are not the only ones. They are all waking up now. Mm. I think Benny Hinn.
We have a video of Benny Hinn making the same confession.
Yes.
Let's sit back and watch this interesting video.
So it's all about our brokenness, our old man. We call that the flesh. Must be broken, must be out of the way. And today, sadly, among a lot of circles, all you hear is how to build the flesh. It's a feel-good message. That's what you hear out there. It's all about feel good, do good, all that. Make money, all the rest of it. And I'm sorry to say that prosperity has gone a little crazy. And I'm correcting my own theology. And you need to all know it. Because when I read the Bible now, I don't see the Bible in the same eyes I saw the Bible 20 years ago. And Steve Strang from Charisma, whom we go back years, he was in my wedding. People don't even know that Charisma magazine began with my father-in-law. Charisma magazine started with Roy Harden, and I married his daughter. So Steve Strang was in my wedding. We go way back. And he's already asked me, said, are you ready to make it public? I said, well, not totally. Because I don't want to hurt my friends whom I love, who believe things I don't believe anymore. And I will tell you now something that is going to shock you. I think it's an offense to the Lord. It's an offense to say, give $1,000. I think it's offense to the Holy Spirit to place a price on the gospel. I'm done with it. I will never again ask you to give $1,000 or whatever amounts, because I think the Holy Ghost is just fed up with it. Did you hear me? I think that hurts the gospel. So I'm making this statement for the first time in my life, and frankly, I don't care what people think about me anymore. So I had a guy. Well, I'll tell you who. It was Dan Willis. I love Dan with all my heart. I said, don't you dare preach that message again. Yeah. Just a few days ago. I said, no. I said, I'm not going to hear it. I don't want to be a part of it. So when they invite me to telethons, I think they will not like me anymore. Because if you look at the Word of God, I don't want to get into it now. Am I shocking you? Good. Let's have a high five on this one. If I hear one more time, break the back of debt with $1,000, I'm going to rebuke them. I think that's buying the gospel. That's buying the blessing. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. That's about all I will say. If you are not giving because you love Jesus, don't bother giving. I think giving has become such a gimmick, it's making me sick to my stomach. And I've been sick for a while too. I just couldn't say it. And now the lid is off. I've had it. You know why? I don't want to get to heaven and be rebuked. No, I think it's time we say it like it is. The gospel is not for sale. And the blessings of God are not for sale. And miracles are not for sale. And prosperity is not for sale.
Is not for sale.
Before I even clap, I'm wondering, all these years, Pastor, you have been saying something different all your life up to this point.
And it has never changed.
These men have been saying these things, you know, this different thing, but now they are beginning to. What is happening?
No, we just heard from only two preachers. We saw more.
They cover the rest. I mean, they cover most.
They
of
cover
them.
Every. At least these are the lead people who are leading.
That we know that.
You had Ebed Damina. He said nobody. He said even from devil, he will collect money.
Wow.
And so you can see the extent with which they had gone. Mm. But you know, there's something that Benny Hinn spoke that makes me remember that it is scriptural what is happening to this age. Revelation chapter 3. What did he say? In Revelation chapter 3, this is from verse 14, the Laodicean
Church age.
Church age.
Okay. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, yes, write, these things say the Amen, uh-huh, the faithful and true witness, uh-huh, the beginning of the creation of God.
Uh-huh.
I know thy works, that mm-hmm, thou art neither cold nor hot.
Yes.
I would thou art cold or hot. Mm-hmm. So then, because thou art lukewarm, mm-hmm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth.
Uh-huh.
Because thou sayest I am
now,
rich.
Now. Verse 17. Hmm. Because thou said, this is the age that this scripture is applied.
Uh-huh. Because thou sayest, I am rich.
Rich.
And increase with goods.
Uh-huh.
And have need of nothing.
Now, is that not the prosperity?
Hmm.
Now, see, Abel Damina said he did all this and he felt empty. See the next verse.
And knowest not that thou art wretched.
Wretched.
Mm. And miserable.
Miserable.
And poor.
And blind.
And blind and naked.
And naked. Mm. Uh-huh.
I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire,
uh-huh,
that thou mayest be rich.
Uh-huh.
And white raiment,
uh-huh,
that thou mayest be clothed, mm, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eyesight.
That is why I am going.
That thou mayest see.
That they may see. Anoint your eyes with eyesight. That they may see. The Holy Ghost is beginning to walk on their sight.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation. Mm-hmm. They are now seeing the value, mm-hmm, to the soul of all they spend their time doing. Teaching. Prosperity. 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 And those that teach that godliness, gain
is godliness.
Gain is godliness. Mm. The Bible speaks against it. It's among the four things that the Bible says we should run away from.
Second Timothy, that's
the first one that we should run away from, because somebody may be listening to us for the first time. That's they want to maybe put this scripture down. Okay. Let's even read it. There are four things.
Okay. First Timothy 6.
Yes.
Okay, from verse 2. And they that have believing
masters. No. Just before I come to that.
Okay.
Sorry, let's go to the first group, okay. The first group. Let's go to the first group that I see in the scripture. Second Corinthians chapter 6.
Okay. Second Corinthians chapter 6.
14 up to verse 18.
Okay. Mm. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers.
We are not to be yoked together with unbelievers.
For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?
Uh-huh.
And what communion hath light with darkness?
Uh-huh.
And what concord hath Christ with Belial?
That's right.
Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?
Mm.
And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?
Yes.
For ye are the temple of the living God.
Mm-hmm.
As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them.
Mm.
I will be their God and they shall be my people.
Yes.
Wherefore, come out from among them and be
what did he say?
Come out from among them.
What did you say?
Come out from among them. And be
Separate.
Separate yourself.
Say the Lord.
Yes.
And touch not the unclean things.
Yes.
And I will receive you.
Uh-huh.
And will be a father unto you.
Uh-huh.
And ye shall be my sons and daughters.
And that is what Revelation chapter 18, verse 4, also emphasizes.
That's okay. Right, sir.
Revelation 18, 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people.
Come out of Babylon, if you read it from verse 1.
That ye be not partakers of her sins.
Yes.
And that ye receive not of her plagues.
Uh-huh. It is come out. Come out. Come out from idol worshiping. Come out from Babylonish religion.
Yes,
then, Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 5.
Okay.
Mm. Another group that you should come out from.
Mm.
And this...
Having a form of this so-called
enter message follower.
Okay. Having a form of godliness.
They have a form of godliness.
But denying the power thereof.
Deny the power of that gospel.
From such, turn away.
From such, you should do what?
Turn away.
Turn away. Mm. Uh-huh. Now, the third group is, he said we should flee fornication.
Mm. Mm. Flee fornication.
Flee. Mm. To the Corinthians too.
Mm.
He said for every sin committed,
outside the body,
but the only sin you commit against your body
is
which scripture is that?
First Corinthians 6.
Uh-huh. You know, I think that is...
First Corinthians chapter 6.
Yes.
From verse 15.
From verse 18. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Flee fornication.
He said flee fornication.
Everything that a man doeth is without the body.
Mm-hmm.
But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body.
We know why.
Mm.
Because fornication destroys destiny.
Mm.
If Joseph had fornicated with Potiphar's wife, he would have remained a slave forever.
Forever, that's right. Sir.
Correct?
Amen.
They were to travel to the wilderness, to the promised land. But because they fornicated in the feast of Baal-Paul, what happened? 24,000 did not get to the promised land. Mm-hmm. David was refused the privilege of building a temple for God because of fornication. Oh, I'm going to, let me go a bit far. Eve. Today, what is Eve and the destiny of all her daughters and all of us, all mankind? It is because of fornication.
That's right.
First son of Jacob, Reuben, his birthright destroyed because of fornication. Ham, the whole Canaan, his That's future right. destroyed because of fornication. Absalom ended up dying because of fornication.
Fornication. That's right.
So that is why he says you flee. Flee is a run. Run without looking back. That is flee. Then the fourth one, where the Bible tells to run away from, is what we're talking about now. Okay. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 5 and verse 6.
Okay, verse 5 and 6. Yes. Perverse the disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness.
They suppose, that is what they teach, that gain, because you are prospering, it means God is with you.
From such, withdraw thyself.
What should you do?
Withdraw
from these so-called prosperity preachers.
That's right.
But godliness with contentment is great.
See, this man was preaching prosperity, Abel Damina. But he said he still felt that void.
That's right.
That void. He said he was empty. And to be empty is to be in a state where you have no God. He said he was unfulfilled. What gives us fulfillment is not, for life does not depend on the abundance of things we acquire on earth.
That's right, sir. Very correct.
Because there is nothing you acquire on earth here that will ever give you satisfaction. If not, the millionaire wants to be a billionaire. The billionaire wants to be a trillionaire. You always want to acquire more. So there is no satisfaction. But there is only one thing that anchors your soul. That Christ is in you. And you are connected to Christ.
Amen.
That is the only place you find true fulfillment. You remain empty when you are outside of the grace of God. Life becomes meaningless as he spoke it. The only thing that gives life a meaning is the hope of glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That is what keeps us going. Our brother Mike Mudok to teach that you sow $1,000 seed so that your mother will be healed. A preacher teaching that is wrong.
That your son will be delivered from alcoholism.
Alcoholism, your son will be delivered from alcoholism.
By sowing a seed.
By sowing a seed. Now, there is a mystery of sowing, of seed sowing.
Of offering.
Of offering. But it is personalized. It's just like people who teach that before you can receive something from God, you have to fast. That's wrong. Where is grace? Where is mercy? It's wrong. But the Spirit of God can push you as an individual. Desperation can send you as an individual to go into fasting.
That's right.
And tell the Lord, I will not live unless you do this for me. That's faith. But it's not a doctrine. Now what we do is we teach the people to exploit these things that people testify about. We teach them. But deliverance, true deliverance, comes only from the cross of Calvary.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But there's also the mystery of offering. That's why we come together. He said when they come together, Deuteronomy 16 verse 16, he said, don't come empty hand. There is something it does, offering does. You know, you sow, you reap. But to bring it down the way, my good dog and his likes, preaching Funke, and then, you know, and tie it to some insurance that if I do this, then I will live. Brother, if you like, go and drop 20 million and live a useless life throughout the year, you will die cockroach death. Therefore, that teaching is wrong. Anybody that downplays what or reduces what happened on the cross on Calvary to some monetary something, then the rich will continue to make it. The poor will have nothing. They'll continue in poverty. It is a wrong presentation. But I believe and I teach the mystery of offering. But to now come and put it as a precondition, as a doctrine, and even come and say, you know, I think it's wrong. I think it's wrong.
Right.
You notice something today. I was preaching in our breakthrough program. And I was making some statements. And a man walked to the altar. And dropped
an offering. That's true, sir. Yeah.
And as he was going back, I heard it clearly. Because he believed what you preach. And has connected with that offering. He said he is going to bless him. That's when I said, come and receive that grace. And you saw what happened.
You should understand that.
Yes. Way. Now, these things I am, you know, that's why I say I believe it. But the presentation, I didn't now stand and say, you see, now, if you want to also
be blessed,
come and drop a seed, you know, and then particularly, now, even if you say drop a seed, you know, you leave it, but when you now tie to a particular amount,
$1,000,
you know, $1,000, 50,000, I believe in offering. If we have a project, we should come together and raise offering for that project.
That's right.
But we are raising the project, I mean the offering for the project, not the offering for your own, for you to marry this year. That would be wrong. You see, so the whole thing is not properly presented. Oh, but you say, but people testify. God honors faith. Moses did the wrong thing.
Water came out.
That's why you must not confuse that. Because it's honoring the people's faith. They believe, that's what William Branham said. That the people that go to Do Babalao, they believe it's God that's going to answer through them. So God honors their faith because they are coming as unto God. As ignorant as they are doing it, God still blesses them. Because God honors faith anytime. But the person that is doing it is under a judgment. If Funke doesn't repent, she's going to hell. Because she knows what she's doing. She knows what she's doing is wrong. She knows it. And all her likes. Until it has been reduced now, there are pastors that invite people to their program, invite certain categories of ministers to their program to come. They say they specialize in raising offering. What kind of nonsense is that? See what Christian faith has been reduced to. Then they come and then talk like Funke is saying, I know I didn't tell you, but this is my home. I just feel like, you know, and things like that. He knows. They brought her for that purpose.
My God.
Then they come and raise offerings. Such people, they come. And I heard that after that, they give him his percentage. Why has the gospel been reduced
business
to that? Now you have a talent to release a song. You are looking for sponsors. So that when you release it, you will sell it and make money. You will not teach the church how to sing it. You will not teach your church choir to sing it. You want to launch it and put it in a tape and then sell. It's not only them. The whole gospel has been commercialized.
Every aspect of the gospel.
Before any minister goes anywhere to minister, a lot of people, they negotiate. How much are you giving me? You're telling me to come. I'm going to use my presence there to make money. How well has the gospel reduced to that? Until now, they sell oil, water, all this.
Yeah, but there's even a display of an anointing. There's this funny one, Bushiri. He has an anointing. He tagged it out.
Financial magnet anointing oil.
The anointing oil is so powerful. Let's watch the video. Very powerful.
Financial magnetic oil. Very powerful.
I receive.
Jesus said, power of the Holy Ghost. Come here, kneel down. The Lord has remembered you.
Thank you, Lord.
The Lord has remembered you. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. Take it. All right.
I receive, Papa.
Too much power. You saw how the anointing carried the usher. Financial magnet.
too powerful.
This man took four slices of bread last night and took water. Okay. Do you have the oil for financial magnet? Give me. Yeah, nobody's using this oil until Sunday. You are only one. You are the only one we are using on.
I receive, Papa. I receive, Papa. I receive.
All right.
I receive, Papa.
Too much power. You saw how the anointing carried the usher. Financial magnet. Too powerful. Hey.
Financial magnet.
Too powerful. Too no, powerful.
But you know that is deceit. You know that is deceit. Now these are and then crowd will be following that because that is it. They said they will keep to themselves teachers with itching ears. But they will not endure what?
Sound doctrine.
You see the kind of crowd they go there. There's no elect of God.
Wow.
That is soaked in the word of God, they will ever be attracted to that type of ministry. Now, watch it. Because they don't know their Bible. They don't study the Bible.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you go to Joshua chapter 5,
Hallelujah.
Verse 12,
Hallelujah.
Remember that in the wilderness, they didn't farm.
Yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
Joshua manna from heaven was coming.
That's right.
No sowing, no reaping.
Yes, sir.
But when they entered the promised land, Joshua positionally placed everybody. Verse 12. What did he say?
And the manna ceased on the morrow.
The manna ceased the next day.
After they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore.
No more manna anymore, but what?
But they did eat of the fruit of the land
the
of Canaan.
The fruit of the land of Canaan that year. That means fruit of the land. They had to go to farm.
That's right.
You have to go and
walk.
There is no magnet, financial magnet, anything. Nothing anywhere. There is no oil, nothing. No
prosperity mantle.
If Bushiri has that magnet, he will not even be in the ministry again.
My God.
He will not even be in the ministry again because he will have enough money to do what he wants to do because many of them is the money. They're sending them into the ministry. Now you discover that what they call it, a financial magnet there, is just another gimmick. I've said it several times. The Bible tells us that though he was rich concerning Christ, it says
he became poor.
That through his poverty, we might become rich. Now that you are in Christ, Abraham, we are seed of Abraham.
Amen.
Correct?
That's right.
Which magnet did Abraham use to be rich? You will eat the good of the land if you be obedient.
Obedient, that's right.
Obedient. So all this, after, is he giving it out free? He's selling it.
That's true.
That is his own magnet. He's magneting your money by selling it. Why is he selling it if he has a financial magnet? And the people are following it. And then they are demonstrating power. They are forgetting that not only, okay, you fall down. Let's hear your testimony after you rise. You go into your room, the money will be coming from left, right. There is nothing anywhere. You must work hard. He said, he who doesn't work should not eat. It is what you sow, you reap.
Amen. The law of sowing and reaping. That's right.
Cast out the spirit. And one of the spirits that must be cast out in Africa is the spirit of laziness. Africans, instead of spending time and making invention, they are spending time in the church. Hours, 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 praying, 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 praying. After you pray, the Bible says faith without works
dead.
Is dead.
Responsible faith.
Okay. So forget all these 419 preachers. In Nigeria, we call them 419. That is a deceitful
workers.
Deceitful. They call it deceitful worker. That's one of them.
Wonderful. Mystery of the anointing at this end time. We know our pastor has so much to say. But there's this interesting question. Would there be an end to all these manifestations before the rapture?
There must be.
There must be an end to them.
Janus and Jambres, what happened to him? Wiped away. He said it. Let's read it.
Wow.
What is this? 2 Timothy chapter 3.
Yes, sir.
2 Timothy 3.
Yes, now.
2 Timothy 3.
Yes.
From verse 5.
Verse 9.
Verse 9, okay. But they shall proceed no further,
for
their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was.
So can you see? Will it end? Does that answer your question?
It does, sir.
Eh?
It does.
So he said they will proceed no further, but what?
That's right.
Their folly
shall be manifest.
Their folly, the folly of all these people, one day it will come to an end. It shall be made manifest.
Okay.
That's the truth.
And if there will be, sir, are you talking about, would there be a showdown like between the bride now? Yes, God's elect that will be raptured.
Oh, we go back again. When it was time for the rapture of the Israelites from Egypt, raptured to the promised land. Was there not a showdown in the Pharaoh, in the palace of Pharaoh?
That's right.
Was there not a showdown?
There was.
When it was time for God to separate his own and release his own from the bondage of the law, was there not a showdown in the upper room?
That's right.
Between the 120 and those Pharisees, the whole city stood to see who is God with now. There must be a showdown. Why do you think there is John ministry in Revelation chapter 10? Verse 11. What does it say?
Hallelujah. Revelation 10, 11. Hallelujah.
In fact, I'm reading even from verse 8.
Revelation 10 from 8. Amen. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again.
What did he say?
Thou must prophesy again.
Take note again. It means it was done before.
Before many people and nations and tongues and kings.
It was done before. Again. Before. When was it done before?
The upper room. The upper room. That's right.
What you see happen in the upper room will happen again. That is why it is called, it will come as the latter and the former room together.
The bride's
revival.
That is the bride's revival. And so that is when people will know that all that nonsense that is going on, God's hand was not in it.
So, but there's a very important question from all the things we heard. So somebody was talking about impartation. Impacting anointing. Is it possible to impact? Is it possible to? You can impact anointing on both of us now.
I've seen so many people. Pastors come to me. Pastor, I'm coming for impartation.
Yes, I want impartation.
We want impartation.
Now, you want impartation?
Yes, we want impartation.
You want impartation.
Yes.
Now go to Romans chapter 1.
Okay, it's a different impartation.
Wait, let's go there first.
Romans chapter 1. Verse 11, what does it say?
Romans 1:11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts.
That what?
That I may impart unto you some
spiritual gifts. That is where we get impartation.
To the end,
now, what is the purpose of that impartation?
To the end, he may be
established. No, to fall down the anointing?
No, to the end, he may be established.
No, now, so that you will fall down the anointing, so that you will see vision?
No, sir.
So that you will heal the sick?
No.
To the end, what is the purpose of the impartation?
To the end, he may be
established.
So that you may be established, what? Go on.
That he may be comforted together with you.
What we give him, the one that is imparting, what we give him, the comfort, that may comfort him with what?
By the mutual faith, both of you and me.
So that you have mutual revelation. Therefore, what is the impartation? It's teaching.
So, these things we have of...
It's teaching.
My son in the ministry, you start seeing vision.
So, does that let them have the same revelation? Okay, vision, revelation. It's just the devil, creating confusion with the scriptures. No human being, show me any ministry for impartation. There's only one ministry for impartation.
The ghost.
Apostle. John the Baptist told us in Matthew chapter 3.
That's right.
He said, his own is comes, you know, he has his own limits.
That's right.
Just paraphrasing. But he said,
baptize with water for repentance.
The one that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Is who?
The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ.
Who imparted those 120?
The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Who imparted Cornelius?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
So, okay. Now, but by the laying on of a hand, what happened?
They received
the Holy Ghost. Was that impartation? You impart. You are claiming a position, arrogating to yourself a position, having what you don't have. If I ever say I have a great nap, take it, and you collect it. Certainly, there's something you collect. That's why you fell down. But something pushed you down. I didn't deny that you didn't receive anything, but certainly it has nothing to do with the Holy Ghost.
So the impartation is the teaching.
Yes, and the Holy Ghost, you cannot carry it in the hand. You can't carry it in your suit. You can't carry it. It's all nothing but impersonation of the real thing.
But what if they say it is an anointing, the anointing of the Holy Ghost that rests on you, you know, on your body, you can transfer it, it's transferable. Is there anything like that?
You sound like you've been in this field.
We hear them.
See, what do you mean by transfer? Because in the building, the body of Christ, everybody has his own position.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, Apostle Paul says, desire spiritual gift, desire to prophesy. But what do you call him? There's two sons. The mother of
James and John.
James and John. Came to Jesus. She had a desire. Let one sit on the right hand, let the other one sit on the left hand. It's a desire. You desire a good thing. He said, you know, it is not of him.
That's right.
To place you where you are in the kingdom. Because he has no such power. None of us also has the power to give a gift to anybody. He is the one that giveth gifts to all men. So for anybody to come to you, you want to be a prophet, come this way.
Sons of the prophet.
And then you are sons of the prophet. Take it, bah, and then you open your eye, you begin to see. You are actually seeing, but not by the Holy Ghost. Because no man has the ability to make you prophet. It is him that giveth some
apostles,
some
prophets.
Okay. So for you to come and say, you want to be a prophet, you want to be this, come forward. Take, and the people are rushing to them and they're giving them conditions. Sons of the prophet, sons of the. But under my ministry, prophets are raising up. And God tells me, that man there is my servant. Anoint him. He's told me to do it. But if I stay now, and then they are all, you see the ministry in the church.
Definitely.
You know, and when he said do that, you know, he has a reason. That's the appointed time for him. So I have no ability to give you ministry. But God can tell me, go and anoint. Is it, who was the one that anointed?
That's Samuel going to anoint David.
No, I'm saying, was it Samuel that made him king?
No.
I think he wanted to say no. That was Samuel. Okay, let me even stop the one for Samuel.
That's right.
Samuel going to the house of Jesse.
Okay.
Okay. He saw one. This one will be. He said, he who said it, said no. Until the specific one, is there no any other one? They brought him. When he came, the same one that said, now he be that.
Hallelujah.
He anointed him. Now, is it Samuel that make David king?
No. No,
sir.
So you should understand what we're talking about. That the Christianity has been hijacked. Hijacked by charlatans.
Hackers.
Hijacked, in fact, more than hackers. They specialize in hacking. And they have hacked into the gospel, and they are doing all the nonsense they are doing with it. But I'm telling you, the foundation of God standard,
sure.
Having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let them. And name the name of the Lord. What does the scripture say?
Depart from iniquity.
Before we close this episode, before we end it today, still on this showdown between the bride and this concubines even be called. So you're saying there'll be a bride revival called the latter rain, the John's ministry.
I believe that God will not just let these people shine like that. He will do something bride. Because he said he gave us the assurance. And we saw it in 2 Timothy chapter 3.
That's right.
He said it.
The foolish shall proceed no further.
He said, I mean, it's clear.
And they are beginning to come out. Everybody knows.
You can see those of them who are sincere.
Mm-hmm.
They are not only coming out, they are even confessing. Look at Benny Hinn. He's sincere. Look at Ebedamina. He's sincere.
That's right.
Look at Michael Conco. He's sincere.
He said it. That's
there are some of them that just hook themselves. Now they don't even know what to be. They're realizing what we are saying is the truth. Many of us listen to us. Because many pastors cannot be bold to say some of these things I say on air. And I don't know why they can't say it. But I'm happy. Now, to let you know that we are not out to just condemn everybody. You can see we are celebrating Abel Damina. We are celebrating Benny Hinn. We are celebrating Michael Conco. And any other person we hear has repented of the nonsense they are doing, we will celebrate them because that is the purpose of the Bright Television.
Amen.
That is the purpose of what we are screaming to the whole world.
Amen.
Come back. And that is the purpose of the ministry of William Branham.
Amen.
That is the purpose of the end time message.
Amen.
It's to come back to the apostolic faith stop this. We have departed too far. Come back again to the faith. That is the end time message.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Sasa. What would be your advice to sincere souls who are listening to you now? These days of gross darkness.
My advice to them is to respond accordingly. Did you hear the song we sing? God's attributes
were manifested to his bride in this last day.
He said, we have had the
revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord for the original life.
You say your eye is open. Our eyes of
understanding, he has opened up at last. And sweet victory is ours.
We are chained down in the past.
True jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our God
with the original life.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Respond. Come out of that nonsense.
Amen.
And follow God the Bible way.
Amen.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you so much, our beloved pastor.
That's right.
It is a pleasure to have you with us on this episode of Rapture Watch. And to our viewers, you have heard the closing remarks of our pastor. Nations are breaking, Israel is awakening. The signs that the Bible foretold, the Gentile days are numbered with horrors and combat, and eternity soon will unfold. The day of redemption is here. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamp streamed and clear.
Amen.
Look up, your redemption is near. This is Rapture Watch, only on Bright TV. God bless you and shalom to you.